Good evening, Visible Church. Very nice worship time. Thank you very much, worship team. By the way, just a heads up, next Wednesday night is our worship night. So I hope you will come for that. Bring some friends. We all like to worship. So bring some friends and we will continue to worship through the evening when we get to Wednesday night. And I know there's some special things that are going to be a part of that evening, so you don't want to miss it. Well, good evening again. You know, last week I preached on wisdom. And afterwards I thought, well, that was a pretty basic message. Practical, because who couldn't use more wisdom? I'm first in line, hand up high, give me some more. We all need wisdom. We need to understand how to operate in wisdom. We need to allow God and His Spirit to impart wisdom to us. And we need to know how to discern what is wise. And so even though it's a basic message, it was important. It's a practical message, but it is important. And I'm continuing on the practical side tonight because the basics are important. Amen? We were talking a little bit about this in the staff meeting and how we sometimes need to focus on the basics. You know, it's great, and you always have to go to the sports analogy. It's great to see that, you know, 40-yard Hail Mary into the end zone and everybody, yay! But if all the basics aren't already operating and if they don't cover the basics well, that 40-yard Hail Mary ain't happening. So, we're doing basics tonight, practical teaching and preaching. Tonight we're going to move a little beyond wisdom into another level of that. You know, and it may not be as exciting as a lot of other topics that I might preach or that Pastor Ben preaches, but it is important stuff we're going to focus on. So we're going to start back again, a little review of last week, because again, wisdom leads right into what I'm preaching about tonight. In last week's message, I started with Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, that reads in my version, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." Everybody right there ought to say, hallelujah. That's a good word. "The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." So I preached on wisdom, and I talked about how wisdom, it all begins with knowledge. It all begins at the level of knowledge, and then it progresses to understanding, and then it eventually becomes wisdom. And knowledge is the acquisition of facts or data, right? You got to know the facts. Understanding is knowing or having the ability to interpret what those facts mean and how they play into what it is you are involved in or going to be involved in. And then, of course, wisdom is the ability to take that understanding that you gained from knowing the facts and being able to interpret them properly. Wisdom is the ability to take that understanding and then make the right choices and formulate effective strategies that lead to a desired outcome. I know this all sounds somewhat academic, but flow with me here. Tonight's message, I am going to focus on how to formulate effective strategies. If you have wisdom, and wisdom can lead to formulating effective strategies so that you have a desired outcome, it's kind of important that we know how to form strategies. So strategy is my topic tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You again, always coming before You with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, because of all that You have done for us and all that You are doing in us and all that can happen through us when we yield ourselves to You, to the Word, to the unction of the Spirit. And Lord, tonight I pray that as we cover some of the basics, You will move it from, and in our mind, out of the realm of the basics and into the realm of importance, so that we see the value of this, and Lord God, that we understand that all of this is dependent upon You, upon our relationship with You, upon our understanding and our intimacy with You. Lord, help us to learn what you want us to learn tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to be successful in life. I have a feeling most of you do as well. In order to live a successful, meaningful, victorious life, you need wisdom, right? I mean, without wisdom, our strategies will be flawed. Without wisdom, we are doomed to failure. Now, most Christians really have no strategy in mind for improving their family or their finances, their health, or even just improving their walk with the Lord. They haven't thought it through. Wisdom, God's wisdom, will always provide a strategy that will produce desired results. So, again, remember, wisdom is the ability to understand the facts that you have, right? And then make the right choices to formulate effective strategies that will bring about the desired outcome. Now, a lot of people don't think that far ahead. They don't plan. They don't have a strategy for how to improve these things in their life because, I don't know, for some reason, we're hindered with the idea that if we are walking in the Spirit, right? That's a term that we use and that we want to follow through with following the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We have this misconception, I mentioned it last week, that we think being led by the Spirit means that you're not really knowing what's going to happen. You have really no clue about what's going to be tomorrow. You're just kind of waiting to see, right? And then we'll decide after it happens, oh yeah, that was God, or no, that wasn't God. We're just kind of stumbling through life. Well, God doesn't stumble, right? God is a strategist. God has all the facts. He has all of the understanding, and those combined with his wisdom to provide the strategies that God is working with. He doesn't stumble through his existence. We shouldn't be stumbling through ours. He doesn't want us to stumble through life hoping that we, you know, stumble upon something good. So, God gives us wisdom, and that wisdom helps us to develop strategies to bring about victory. His victory. His victory. We all want victory. We all want success, but it doesn't come unless we are pursuing the right strategy. And the right strategy doesn't come unless we have wisdom. I feel like I'm preaching a circle here, you know. It just keeps going back and forth around. But it's important that we understand this. Now, back to strategy. The dictionary defines strategy as an artful means to some end. Think about that. It is an artful means to some end. And of course, strategy can always refer to the skill that someone might have in managing or planning something. Now, most of us have a desire to get to the end. The question is, will we get there artfully? Right? Your marriage might have lasted for 15 years and you're on your way to happiness together forever. But has those 15 years been done artfully? And will the next 15 and 20 and however long God gives you life on this earth, will it be done artfully? We are endeavoring to grow in the Lord. We are endeavoring to deepen our spiritual experience and our commitment to God. The question is, are we doing it artfully? Not just stumbling and fumbling around blindly, hoping that, you know, eventually we're going to end up in the right place. Eventually we're going to be moving in the right way. The answer to the questions that I'm asking indicates whether or not we have a Holy Spirit-inspired strategy. Will it be artful? And again, remember, strategy is the artful means to accomplish our goals. It's a step-by-step process that helps us get from here to there and get there well and get there victorious, successfully. Many times the sum of our goals really is nothing more than a matter of hit and miss. right? I mean, we try one way, and if that doesn't work, well, then we try another way, and if that doesn't work, we'll try something else, and if that doesn't work, we'll give it a little bit of time and a little more thought, and then we'll try something else, and we'll just keep trying different things until we eventually will just give up. A strategy based on God's wisdom can make all the difference. We need God's wisdom, and we need to be able to formulate strategies according to that wisdom. See, anybody can say, I have a dream. I have a dream to do this, that, or the other thing. Or you know, I have a money-making idea I think is going to be very successful. Might have a burning desire for some kind of ministry. We all can come up with these ideas, these thoughts, these even callings. We might recognize a calling in our life, but how are you going to accomplish it? How are you going to get from where you are right now to the successful completion of what it is, that dream is, or that money-making idea, or that ministry is? How are you going to make that money-making idea a producing cash cow? Doesn't just happen. I mean, how many businesses start up and fail? It's not easy. Strategy is what determines whether or not you will reach your goal. So I'm going to give you some steps tonight, steps that you can use in developing strategies. Now, just out of curiosity, for my own sense of where we are in this crowd, how many of you do have a dream? Let me see a hand. How many of you have a desire for some kind of ministry? And maybe the dream and the ministry are the same thing. Or maybe you have an idea. You think, this is a great idea. This could be big in the marketplace. Anybody have one of those that they're pursuing right now? Excellent, excellent. All right, good. I'm talking to the right crowd. You can benefit from this. Well, here's the first step. Before you can develop a strategy, you've got to know your role. You've got to know your role. You have to know your own gifts. You have to understand your talents and callings. It's not just a matter of eliminating what you're not good at, but making a realistic assessment of where you are and what must be used or changed to improve and to get you where you are going. You have to have a personal assessment and you have to be realistic about it. Robert Schuller used to say this. He'd say, your role plus your goal plus your toll equals success. So you have to know your role before you can establish an appointed goal, an appropriate goal. Then you have to be willing to pay the toll. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You have to be willing to pay the price. Any worthwhile goal that you want to accomplish is going to cost you something. The key there is worthwhile. Are you willing to pay it? See, only then will you have success. And part of knowing your role is figuring out how you fit into the whole scheme of things. How do you fit into the whole scheme of things? That brings us back to what are our gifts and what are our talents. You know, just in my own personal life, I can look at this in several different ways. What is my role? You know, in my household, I have a role. I know what my role is. I'm going to fulfill that role. When I'm at work, I have a specific role, and I don't very often move outside of that realm unless I'm invited. I have a role, I have a purpose, I do my job, I do it well, and I know what my role is. And my role there is established based on my talents and my giftings that I bring into the office place. In this church, I have a role. I'm not Pastor Ben, and I don't try to fulfill his role. I know what my role is, I know what his role is. My main role is to help support his role, right? So you have to know what your role is, or you will not understand your place, and you will fail. You'll get out of your lane, as my wife likes to call it. At her place of work, she says, I just try and stay in my lane. People try to drag, because she's got a lot of talent. She is a super worker, and people look to her for leadership, but that's not her role. And she's, you know, they want her to make decisions that should be made by other people in the organization. Am I getting too personal here? Yeah, she said, yes, you are. But one of her strategies at work is to stay in her lane. She's not going to violate what her calling and purpose is in that particular situation. You have to know your role. You have to know your giftings. You have to know what you're about. And again, knowing oneself is very important to establishing effective strategies in our life. What are you really called to do? What are you called to do? If you're trying to do something that you're not really called to do, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be frustrated. I think of Andrew Womack. I had a little bit of a relationship with him in the early days. And, you know, Andrew started out, he's just so on fire for God. He started pastoring churches, small churches in Texas. And if you know anything about Andrew Womack, he knows the word. He's a great man of God. But that wasn't his calling. That wasn't his role. And he just got frustrated and frustrated being a pastor. And he moved on to being a teacher and doing what he does now. And it's just amazing what I have seen happen in his ministry. He was frustrated when he started out because he was not in the right place. He was not where God really wanted him or called him to be. So you have to know where you are supposed to be. If you're going to do something, if you're going to do something that you're not really called to do, even with a great deal of grit, you might accomplish some good things, but you won't be fulfilled by it. And not only are you going to end up frustrated to some degree, you'll be amazed at how many other people around you become frustrated too. And they might not even understand why. Just not working right. All right, so you have to know your role. You have to know who you are. Then you decide where you want to be. And I'm putting this kind of in the context of within some level of a time frame. Where do you want to be? What's one of the things that always bothered me, like at a job interview? They said, where do you want to be in 10 years? It's like, well, if I knew that, why would I be sitting here? But where do you want to be? What is your destination? What are you going for? You know, where are you going to be in your life in 5 years, in 10 years? And this is, you know, this is not necessarily career oriented. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all kinds of different levels. Where are you going to be? Where do you want to be in your marriage? Where do you want to be in your family? Where do you want to be within the ministry that you feel God is calling you to? Where do you want to be just in this church? If all you've thought about is where I'm going to be today and then maybe next Sunday, well, there's not a whole lot of strategy involved in that. You need to begin to think about these things. You need to set a certain time frame, some goals, if you will, because if you don't, those desires, those dreams, those ideas that you have are all going to become meaningless. You have to put some skin in the game, so to speak, and start moving in that direction. Don't just pick an arbitrary target, right? Some number off the top of your head. You need to give some time to prayer. You need to give some time and you know, understand the facts and apply knowledge and wisdom. You have to be realistic, have to be wise in all of these things, because you need to set realistic goals. One of the things that trip people up a lot is they get a goal in their brain and they have all kinds of optimism and they think they're operating in faith, and it's so far out in left field that there's no real opportunity to get there without them first becoming frustrated and giving up. You don't want to be in that place. You need to set realistic goals so that you set yourself up to succeed and not fail. Now, again, I'm all for being optimistic. I am a pretty optimistic guy, right? For the most part, I am. And not only am I optimistic naturally, but I also have faith in God. I also believe that God can do amazing, miraculous things. So that just adds to my level of optimism. I see a lot of things with rose-colored glasses. But we also have to be reasonable, and we have to be able to accept the fact that we may not always fully achieve the goals that we established, the things that we believe that God is calling us to. You know, strategy is establishing that step-by-step plan to achieve that goal. But if your final step didn't get you to the total fulfillment of your plan, you can still celebrate how far you did make it. You know, you can still celebrate what was accomplished. Celebrate when you've made those progresses, that the progress that you've been looking for, even though it may not have totally been complete, because you can celebrate at that point and still press on. Still press on. You know, you wanted to lose 25 pounds, but you only lost 15. Keep pressing onward and celebrate the fact you lost 15 pounds. Now, when we're developing our strategy, it's important that we also realize what it's going to take to accomplish that goal. What's it going to take? And see, that's where you become a true strategist. Look at Luke chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 28. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him." All of us, I'm pretty confident I can make this statement, all of us have failed to reach some stated goal in our past because we didn't really understand all that was involved to accomplish those goals. I know you've done this too. You've gotten involved in something and you really didn't understand all that it was going to take, and it didn't go well. Jesus said that we need to count the cost. We need to count the cost. In other words, we need to understand what steps it's going to take to get to that place. That's called strategizing. There's going to be sacrifices. There's going to be time. There's going to be all kinds of things that are required for you to get from here to there. You need to think your way through that. You need to be realistic about what it's going to take and then measure yourself and measure your ability and measure your involvement with God and say, is this really doable? And if it is, how am I going to accomplish it? What are the steps I'm going to need to take? See, it's likely you may need to gather some people around you, others who can help. That might be one of the very important steps in you achieving that. Just because you don't understand how to reach your goal doesn't mean that you just give up on it. You need to spend more time in prayer. You need to spend more time in the Word. You need to spend more time seeking God's wisdom, right? And then you need to decide if you're willing to pay whatever price it's going to take. In 5 years, we want to own a 6,000 square foot home with a 500 foot beach on Lake Michigan. Count the cost. Are you aware of how much a home like that costs? I mean, just think of what the taxes must be on something like, are you willing to pay what it's going to take to keep that house? How much house that is to clean? How much upkeep you're going to have on that kind of property? It's a great, 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 great goal and a great dream for anybody to have, but you have to count the cost or you'll get into it and they'll foreclose in a few months. And everybody will look at you and go, yeah, they're not able to finish it. See, after really looking over your goals, you actually might come to the conclusion that you're not really ready or willing to pay that kind of price yet. And the time to decide that is really before you begin the building project or whatever it is that we're talking about. You've got to be realistic. Now, you know, as church leaders, we kind of have to ask ourselves, do we really want a large church? I mean, do we really want to be training future leaders in faith? Do we really want to endure the headaches and the heartaches and the expense, the sacrifice that it's going to take in time and the effect that it's going to have on our families? Is that really what we want? You have to think that. You have to consider the cost. You know, the real reason that most churches don't grow is because pastors don't want it to. Because they know. You can get comfortable with a group, you know, our size church, a little bit smaller even, a little bit larger. You can kind of get comfortable with that. When a pastor looks at the steps that are involved in real growth, such as hiring and training and firing sometimes, and all of the workload that it's going to add that comes along with, you know, more people and more projects and all kinds of, sometimes they just decide that it's going to be a whole lot easier to stay small and avoid all the hassle. This is not that church. This is not that church. Or I wouldn't really want to be a part of it. We understand what the cost is. And there's strategizing going on behind the scenes that not everybody is aware of. And you know, I think a majority of it happens in Pastor Ben's head, and then we all begin to learn about it. But that's the way it works. God is speaking to him. God is inspiring him. God is giving him directions to move in that is going to make a difference in the lives of this church and in the lives of our community. And he is, I'm sure, always counting the costs, always deciding which step to take next. When you start considering the steps involved in accomplishing your goal, sometimes that might actually change your goal when you really think your way through it. All right, another thing in strategy, you need to establish a daily discipline. A daily discipline. If you're not willing to work on something today in order to work toward your goal, that goal is really just a fantasy. It's not reality. It will never come to pass. I mean, back to something we all deal with. You could decide you want to lose 10 pounds by Christmas. But you know, if you aren't willing to work on your goal today, you probably won't lose any weight at all. You have to have some discipline and begin working daily toward that process. The avoidance of working on your goals now is just really, it's a sure sign that you're not committed to them. The goal you have set for yourself should be near and dear to your heart. It should be something that you truly desire, that you won't have to work up the motivation to really begin to work on it every day. If it's a struggle to work on it, it probably isn't quite the right thing or the right time for you at this moment. If it's not part of your heart, you'll find all kinds of ways to rationalize procrastinating. Right? One day I want to do this. Instead of working on it today, you'll find reasons why this day just wasn't a good day to do it. This day just isn't, it's not right yet. Well, usually there's something you can do, even if it's just prayer. Maybe all of the, you know, the planets haven't aligned and everything hasn't fallen into place yet, but you can still be working on it in a number of different ways if you'll be creative and allow God to lead you. And certainly, prayer is a major component. If you don't have the motivation to implement daily discipline, it may be that you're working on something that really isn't your heart's desire, and you might need to change your goal. And if you do, you'll want to count the cost. All of this fits together. And if you don't have anything, this is, some people are in this place. If you don't have anything that you're motivated about, well, then you need a total reworking of your mindset. You see, we were created to be fruitful. So, you know, just kind of lounging around isn't really God's plan for you. I can say that with confidence. Because He created you to be fruitful. So we've got things to do. He's got things for us to do. And we need to figure out what it is and get on with getting it done. Amen? It helps you if you will begin to visualize that goal. If you begin to think about the process to get there and how it's going to come about. Make it a part of you. Make it a part of your prayers. Make it a part of your conversation with other people. Make it a part of how other people see you. One of the things I like about Norina is I know where her heart is. Because she's always talking about it. And she's always working on it. And she's strategizing. And she's figuring out, how am I going to get this done? And how am I going to do that? And who can I contact for this? And she's on the path. Right? Again, you need to spend time in prayer. Pray about it. Talk about it. Think about it a lot. Those are all a valuable part of any strategy. And you need to know and monitor the facts and make necessary adjustments. Yeah, you can adjust. That's a good thing. Here in Proverbs 24, starting in verse 3, says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Knowledge and understanding and wisdom. So what are the facts? Let's say you want to get out of debt by the end of the year. That'd be cool. How many debts do you have? See, these are the facts. You've got to start considering. How much would it take to pay them all off? How much of a budget of your normal monthly budget can you afford to put toward debt reduction? You have to think your way through these things. Are you considering everything that there is in this whole plan for debt reduction? You know, there are unexpected things that pop up. Maybe a doctor's appointment. Maybe an appliance goes down. We had to replace a washer just out of the clear blue and had no clue it was going bad. It just one day it was done. That was an expense that we had planned. Things happen, you know, broken appliances, car repairs. Don't forget about gifts and giving. How's that going to fit into your debt reduction plan? And it all can. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to paint this unattainable goal, but I'm just saying you have to think your way through. You have to strategize. You have to have a reasonable strategy based on the facts that you know and understanding those facts and then applying God's wisdom. A lot of times I think we think things in error because we aren't really paying attention to the facts. We ignore the facts. We think this would be an easy job, that we haven't thought our way through it. You know, sometimes we just aren't thinking. It's easy to think that you've spent an hour in prayer, but if you really looked at your watch, it might have only been 30 minutes. It's just the way it works. Our brains are not geared to really focus on the facts so much. It's easy to think that you've had a good workout, but if you were to have an expert tell you that, you know, what you did didn't even really get your heart rate up to a level where it is going to accomplish anything for you. But for you, it seemed like a pretty good workout. When we gather the right facts, it's always easier to plan the proper steps and then make the proper adjustments. There will be adjustments. There is a process, right? And part of the process is reevaluating and continuing to observe the facts, understand the facts, and put those things into practice. Put those into your bag of knowledge that helps you to understand and then have wisdom about the next steps. Wisdom is the ability for us to take that understanding to make the right choices, and to formulate effective strategies that are going to lead to the desired outcome. And if we don't reach our desired goal, if we don't reach it in the desired time frame, well then, step back, assess the facts, make the necessary adjustments, and then press on. Press on. Don't just give up. Don't just say, oh, well, I failed. Press on towards your goal by making the adjustments and refining your strategy and following through. And again, let me emphasize the value of seeking God's direction through prayer. I am as prone as anybody, and maybe more so than some, to come up with my own strategy out of my own strength and try and tough it out and you know, really work hard rather than relying more on God and trusting Him for wisdom and trusting Him for the directions that I should be going and for the adjustments that I should be making. Don't be afraid to adjust your course. You know, that really is a part of life and maturing. By all means, don't stick with something that's not working. If it's not working, revise. See, that's wisdom. If it ain't working, there's got to be something better. And of course, don't quit. Keep going. Oftentimes, the difference between victory and defeat is just the willingness to continue on. How many times have we given up? I say we, meaning me at least. How many times have I given up when I was just on the doorstep of victory, but I stopped? I got discouraged. I felt I couldn't go on. I got tired. I got whatever. I think oftentimes we miss out on the victory that is ours because we come short. Any worthwhile endeavor is going to provide plenty of opportunities to quit. Plenty of opportunities to give up. I'm going to tell you, keep going. Keep going. And if it is worthwhile, and that's something you would have determined before you began, right? That's part of the strategy. You're not just stumbling around. You've found that thing that you believe God is leading you to. That's a worthwhile endeavor. If it is worthwhile, it is worth toughing it out. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for wisdom that we can't obtain any other way than through you, by your word, by the leading of your spirit, by revelation that comes. Lord, our heart's desire is to fulfill the calling and the purpose that you have created us for. And we can't do it on our own. We are not capable of managing our lives to such a degree that we will be immensely successful without you. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to know our limitations and understand the lack of limits that you have so that we can achieve the things that you have called us to. Give us insight, give us understanding, give us a level of understanding about ourselves so that we know the proper place for us and the right role and the right time. But Lord, help us to formulate successful, God-centered strategies to accomplish what you have in store for us, what you desire for us from the very beginning when you thought of our existence. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing in this church. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you give and for the continued support that you provide. Even when we fall short, you are always faithful and you are always loving and you are always encouraging us to move on, to grasp what you have given us. And we pray in Jesus' name that our faith will be joined together with your grace to accomplish all. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you?
Yeah. I'm going to turn this on for a few seconds.
That's okay. You did awesome. Look at that. That's really loud. Hopeless, the Lord.